On Pentecost Sunday, of course, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And we have this sort of peculiar scene in the gospel where Jesus breathes on his disciples. I have to admit, I have a hard time imagining what that was like. Was it real up close and personal, like right in their face? Or were they kind of sitting at a distance and he just sort of symbolically breathed in their direction? I don't know what it was like. But that isn't to say that it was not a significant action that he did. And of course, it harkens back centuries and centuries before his time to the very first verses of the book of Genesis, where the Spirit of God, the breath of God, hovered over the waters. And then, of course, God breathed into the dust of the earth as he formed man and woman in his own image. We see very clearly that the Spirit of God, the breath of God, is not only the source of physical life, but also the source of divine life for all of us who are members of the body of Christ, the church. This action of breathing is so key. I thought it would be interesting also to see not only how breathing is used as a sign and symbol in Scripture, but also in the history of the church. And actually, up until the reforms of the mid-20th century, some 60 or so years ago, breathing was actually used as more of a symbol. It was much more present in rituals in the church. For example, in the blessing of a baptismal font, the priest would breathe actually upon the water. In the baptism of people, you can be thankful that this doesn't happen anymore, I guess, the priest would breathe into the face of the one being baptized in the sign of a cross. Likewise, in exorcisms, the priest or bishop would breathe upon the one being exorcised. In the Mass before the reforms of the council, when the priest was consecrating the bread and wine, he would bow down low so his breath would actually touch the host. He would bow down and breathe into the chalice of wine. And finally, at the Chrism Mass, as the bishop consecrates chrism for use in the sacraments, he still, to this day, breathes upon the oil. Now, you could say, well, this is all nice and good. What does it mean? There are two different meanings of these, this symbol of breathing onto people or materials. The first is sort of like if you took an old dusty book off the shelf and blew the dust off of it. You're getting rid of something. So this breathing is a sign of doing away with any kind of evil influence. But the breath is also a symbol of filling something, just as you would breathe into a balloon, for example, and that balloon gets filled with air, filled with breath. So the symbolic blowing of air on people or objects is a sign of those things being filled, receiving the breath of God, receiving the Spirit. Spirit, by the way, it's from the Latin word that simply means breath, just like the Greek pneuma or the Hebrew ruah. It's pretty much all the same in the Scriptures. Breath, the breath of God that gives life. It occurred to me that while breathing has been present in these sacramental and ritual celebrations for a long time in the church, breathing is also something that is very familiar to all of us. Something that we're not always very mindful of, and yet, at the same time, it's something that is absolutely critical and essential for our continuing in being. Everyone here is breathing. If we stop breathing, even for a couple of minutes, we're in big trouble. But so it is with the life of the Spirit, breathing in the very Spirit, the breath of God. If we are not living in the Spirit, then our spiritual life also comes to its end. So I'd like to suggest something very practical for you and for your prayer. That just as breath and breathing has been used in liturgical rites as a symbol of expelling evil and welcoming the Spirit of God, so for each of us personally, our own breathing can be quasi-sacramental, if you will. We look at how we breathe in and breathe out physically, and that can be a powerful reminder to us of the dynamic of the Spirit of God coming into us and expelling from us anything that is not worthy or anything that keeps us from loving God with our whole heart. So I'm not saying make all your prayer just to focus on breathing, but it might be a very practical way to begin a time of prayer. When you sit down or kneel down to pray, focus for just a moment or two on breathing. Breathing in deeply and breathing out. And it's not some New Age thing at all. It's very biblical and part of our tradition. But to be mindful of how that breath coming in and going out is similar to and may symbolize the life of God, His Holy Spirit filling us and driving out from us anything that needs to be driven out. For just a moment, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. Even just in practical terms, focusing on breathing can help us relax, calm down, de-stress, and breathe more healthily. But when we add that spiritual dimension and let it be, as I said, almost sacramental, as it draws our minds and hearts to the reality of the Holy Spirit living and breathing within us, then the Spirit will teach us to pray. The Spirit will draw us into that time of prayer and tell us what it is we can ask for and how it is we can enter more deeply into our relationship with God. So, however it happened that Jesus breathed on his disciples that day, that Easter day, it can be a reality for us as well today. And even if you don't do a physical breathing exercise with it, meditate on the breath of God, the Spirit of God, which is a dynamic reality for our life. It's not that we receive the Holy Spirit one day and then nothing after that. The Spirit, just like our breath, is a dynamic reality. We need to breathe in the life of God constantly. If we stop, we're in big trouble. But the Lord can really draw us through that and help us to live not according to the flesh, as St. Paul says, but in that dynamic reality of the life of the Spirit.